welcome to my very first podcast. I am your host, William Holly. I'm here on the beautiful campus of Brooklyn College. Special thanks to everybody at the radio station, WBCR, for accommodating me, allowing me to take advantage of these great facilities. A couple things I wanted to get into today. Number one, Derrick Rose. Cleveland Cavaliers guard Derrick Rose has opted to take some time away from the team for personal reasons. Listen, man, everybody deserves to live a happy, healthy, prosperous life. You know, I wish him nothing but the best. But I still find myself frustrated with Derrick Rose, and not just now, but most of his career. And my eye is not directed solely at Derrick Rose. It's with someone not many people would agree with. And that's his college coach and current heads men basketball coach at the University of Kentucky, John Calipari. John Calipari is somebody that always struck me as someone who tried to shirk responsibility when he could. You know, if his team suffered a tough loss, he would point the finger, or he would complain about his team seeding in the NCAA tournament. Just somebody who really, I feel, lacked accountability and always pointed the finger when times got tough. And I feel a lot of the kids that come through his programs take on that same identity. There seems to be something a little bit missing with those guys. You know, just last year when Derrick Rose was a member of the New York Knicks, that was a basketball game where he just neglected to show up. His team was to take the court in Madison Square Garden, and Derrick Rose was nowhere to be found. He opted to go home, take a flight home to Chicago to be with his mama. He never told his organization, whether the ownership, general manager, head coach, even his teammates. Now, how professional is that? But I can't fault him when he came up in an environment under John Calipari at the University of Memphis, where John Calipari, too, wasn't big on accountability. You know, if his teams lost the game, he would come back and blame the ref for it. Always pointing the finger. So how could we expect Derrick Rose to be a professional and let his organization know that he's not showing up? Okay, even now, as he opts to figure out if he wants to continue in his basketball career, he's taking the Cleveland Cavaliers money. He's taking the money of the fans that paid for season tickets, paid to see him lace up his sneakers and play basketball. Is it honorable to draw a paycheck and not perform? See, the University of Kentucky and John Calipari, there's just certain things missing with these guys. You know, it's a certain it factor that I think they lack. Okay, Derrick Rose is somebody who the NCAA believes didn't even take his own SAT. If you got a kid who didn't take his own SAT, how can you expect him to be a professional and let his organization know? How can you expect him to be a professional and show up to work when he's drawing a check? Derrick Rose, as you figure out your next move, how about you donate the game checks that you're receiving right now to Cleveland charity? Okay? Derrick Rose is not the only John Calipari disciple that I have an issue with. Another one of Calipari's prize recruits is DeMarcus Boogie Cousins. Now, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins has been in the league for 8 years, hasn't sniffed the playoffs yet. 8 years, hasn't sniffed the playoffs yet. You ever heard him stand up and say, "Yeah, that's on me. I need to be better. I need to do a better job of leading my team"? Nope. That's not the Calipari way. The Calipari way is, when in doubt, when adversity strikes, blame somebody else. So Boogie Cousins, in 8 years, we've seen him play for, what, 5, 6 coaches? All we hear about is him being unhappy with the organization and the coach. Boogie, you mean to tell me 7, 6, 7 coaches? That was a problem with all of them? Nobody in this camp tell him to look in the mirror and be better. Nobody in the camp tell him that ultimately when his career is done, he's responsible for what he accomplishes. But again, they came up in this environment with John. We seen John Calipari get on national TV after the NCAA selects the brackets. He makes claims like, oh, the NCAA doesn't want to see us when they put us in the toughest bracket. Really, Calipari? How about you just worry about getting your team prepared to play, prepared to win? Last year, they suffered a loss in the NCAA tournament. I forget who they lost to. But before he even sat down at the press conference, he was already pointing the finger at the refs. Oh, my whole team fouled up. I don't hear that from Coach K. I don't hear that from Tom Izzo at Michigan State. Again, there seems to be something just a little bit amiss with the Calipari folks, with these Kentucky kids. Boogie Cousin, one of the more talented players in the league, hasn't been in the playoffs. All he leads the league in is technical fouls and getting coaches fired. Hey, if I was a basketball coach, I would stand far away from Boogie Cousins because it must be like a snipe or something because they seem to just be dropping like flies. Leading the league in technical fouls. No accountability. Always somebody else's fault. That seems to be the Kentucky way. Again, I wish Derrick Rose nothing but the best, but it seems he left a lot to be desired. And that's not about being injured. People calling this a sports tragedy. We've seen this before. Derrick Rose is not the only person that's been at the height of the NBA and had to succumb to injuries. You younger folks may not remember, but those my age, 30 and above, I'm going to throw out a name for you. How about Grant Hill? Yeah, Grant Hill was once at the heights of this sport and had to battle injuries. He didn't fold. He didn't take time away when he was healthy enough to play basketball. Let's talk about Grant Hill for a minute. Okay, before Grant Hill even laced up his sneakers one day in the NBA, he was a two-time NCAA champion from Duke University. So, yeah, that big game that we saw Derrick Rose lose to Kansas, Grant Hill won twice. That NCAA championship game that Calipari has only managed to win one time, yeah, Grant Hill got two of them. And we're not just talking on the court. Off the court, Grant Hill was a megastar, too. A megastar, too. You know when you're around a basketball court and your friend goes up for a dunk and the ball hits the front of the rim, he falls back and everybody laughs and says Sprite? Yeah, those were Grant Hill's commercials. Grant Hill signed one of the more lucrative sneaker deals at the time with the brand by the name of Fila. Fila's a soccer brand. They were so impressed with that man, the character, they opted to try their hand in basketball. You think Adidas is happy with Derrick Rose and the young man that he is? Especially last year after the sexual assault case and the horrific details that came out of that? It's not just about injuries. It's just a quality missing with these Kentucky folks. And again, I'm blaming the head of the snake, and that's John Calipari. He created this environment for these young men. An environment that where they lack accountability. When times get tough, point the finger. Run for cover. I don't know the Kentucky fight song, but that might be in there somewhere. When in doubt, point the finger. Just this year, another Calipari player, Eric Bledsoe of the Phoenix Suns. I think his team started 0-3. Next thing you know, a tweet comes from his personal a social media account, and it says, I don't want to be here. Knowing damn well that's going to send the NBA media into a frenzy. What ends up happening? His coach gets fired. And when the storm made his way back to Eric Bledsoe, what did he say? He said, oh, that tweet wasn't about basketball. It was about I didn't want to be in a hair salon with my wife. Are you serious, man? But again, that's the environment they came up in. It's never their own fault. Eric Bledsoe, if you wanted out, how come you didn't mention that in the offseason like a professional? The way Kyrie Irving did when he went to the Cavaliers. Again, there's just certain things I don't see from the Duke individuals, from the Duke players, from the Michigan State players. Michigan State, I see Draymond Green, a second-round draft pick, making the most of his talent, two-time NBA champion. The Kentucky boys, just a bunch of underachieving crybabies. And this is my last piece on Calipari. I think the biggest indictment against Calipari and the quality of young men that come through his program resides in Washington, D.C. All-star point guard John Wall, one of the most dynamic players in the league. Every other night is a new highlight, crossover, spin move. This dude is one of the most electrifying players in the game. And that young man can't get a sneaker contract. In a league that made the sneaker contract famous, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, there's no shortage of shoe deals going around in the league. This talented young man can't get a sneaker deal. Now, it's not about the basketball gameplay. When brands sit across from him in the meeting rooms, there must be something in his character that makes them walk away and say, you know what? Nah, I don't want my product associated with this guy. I don't want to put him in a gym full of young kids and hand him a mic and ask him to represent our product. Uh-uh. There must be a certain it factor that's denying him from getting these shoe deals. John Wall even partnered with Clutch Sports. That's the group that represents LeBron James, agent Rich Paul, looking to increase his dollars off the court. And they can't even get him a sneaker deal. LeBron James just signed a lifetime deal with Nike, and John Wall can't get anywhere close to that. I don't know. Sometimes, am I reaching here? I don't know. Somebody talk to me. Hit me on Twitter, at WBH Radio. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know. Am I being too harsh on the Calipari and his crew? At WBH Radio on Twitter. When we come back, we're going to discuss some of this NFL and the Players Coalition coming to an agreement. Should the players accept it? We'll be right back. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, William Holly. A lot going on out there in the sports world. A lot going on, especially in the NFL. The NFL players have asked the league to stand up and address some of the social issues that are going on in the world. And the league seemed to have tried to answer the bell. They made an offer to the Players Coalition, a small group of players who have been in negotiations with the league. And the league has proposed a plan that will include them donating close to $100 million to, and I quote, fund causes considered critically important to African-American communities, end quote. What should the players make of this offer? I think the players should take it and run. Now, there's been some infighting within the players. Some players don't agree that they should accept the money. Some think they should take it. I think the owners kind of exposed the players with this offer. The protest started last year with Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, a protest that I thought was truly clever. That silent act grabbed the world's attention. But since then, players have been sprouting up here and there with their protests, fists in the air, knees, taking a knee. And so the NFL is looking to put an end to that. They stepped up to the plate and said, here's our offer. And now the players are unsure. They don't know what to do. Some say, well, it's not good enough. We're not for sale. Okay, you're entitled to that. But in any negotiation, in this world, If you're unhappy with it, guess what you do? You make a counteroffer. And the players have yet to do that. You know what that tells me? They were a group without a plan from the beginning. It's easy to scream there's problems in the world, there's issues in the world. It's easy to do that. But what's the solution, players? The NFL ownership group is at the table with theirs. They say, hey, man, we don't have all the answers, but here's some money to help go towards that. And the players are caught with their pants down. Like, oh, no. Either accept the money or come up with a better solution. Anyone can highlight problems. What's the answer, guys? I think you guys truly got exposed last week when the NFL ownership made that offer. Eric Reed doesn't agree with Anquan Boldin and Malcolm Jenkins. That's not a good look, guys. This protest has been going on for a year. Y'all didn't have a plan? Well, it's with law enforcement. Let's keep it real for a minute. Colin Kaepernick started his protest. His main goal was to raise awareness about some of the police brutality that was going on in the world. He was using his platform to highlight those issues. I'm thankful for it. Those things need to be corrected. But Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, these guys are not the ones who are responsible for the injustices in the world. So because they are rich NFL owners, they shouldn't be responsible for coming up with an answer. So as players, y'all should take that free money and really get out in the streets, really get out with the law enforcement agencies and figure out a solution. Get out there with your local politicians. And get to the bottom of all of this injustice and get some real answers. But to look at the ownership group, Jerry Jones, Mr. Rooney, John Mara, and say, well, I don't know if your money is good enough. That's foolish. Because again, they're not the problem. If I won the lottery tomorrow and I got over $1 billion, I hope somebody wouldn't be looking to me for the answers on how to solve the world's issues. I'm just a dude with some money now. Jerry Jones is somebody that made his money in oil. To hold these owners accountable and say they need to solve every single thing is ridiculous. Take the money and run. And get out there and hit the pavement and get to the people who really are the root of the problem. Yeah, you use your platform. Good. Get the money and go get the real answers. I almost feel sorry for the NFL owners. Jerry Jones made his money in oil. Isn't the Rams owner, isn't he made his money in Walmart? Listen, there's politicians that went to the best schools in the world, had the best education, studied political science, and they can't agree on how to fix the world's problems. Why should a cowboy from Texas who made some money in oil, why should he be held accountable for knowing the answers? Players, you guys got exposed. And lastly, you sat at the table with these owners and you came up with all these, with a solution or try to work out a deal so the protest could come to a close. Did you ever think to negotiate that Colin Kaepernick find a spot back in the league? Shouldn't that have been the first order of business? Look, guys, I don't know how y'all can figure it out, but listen, Colin Kaepernick needs a roster spot. Get it done. Make sure that's in your offer as well. But no. The players group was a bunch of unorganized, selfish individuals, not knowing which way to go. Everybody with their own agenda. I'm glad Colin Kaepernick is not associated with you guys right now. You guys don't deserve his presence. Because he's really out in the street making things happen, giving to charities, talking to people, reaching out to politicians. You guys don't know which way is up. It was shameful. The owners pulled up like, here we are. This is what we got. What's up, players? What's your response? Your response? End fighting. Pulling in 10 different directions. You got exposed. Shout out to Colin Kaepernick, man. That protest changed the world forever. Grabs everybody's attention. And what did you players do with that platform, that stage, that attention? You squandered it. Dropped the ball completely. Thanks for joining me on my very first podcast. I'm your host, William Holly. A lot going on in the NBA this season. I must say, it's been an enjoyable year. A lot of different storylines. Lonzo Ball. The New York Knicks seem to be a decent team. But one team that's been in the headlines for the wrong reasons is the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder had a busy offseason, acquiring the great Paul George, the talented Carmelo Anthony. But they haven't been able to put it together in this early part of the season, with a record of only 10-12. Now, I've been critical of Russell Westbrook throughout his career. Back when they faced the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals, I thought the Thunder were the better team. Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, James Harden should have been able to beat LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. I put that loss solely on Russell Westbrook. You know, Kevin Durant was scoring 30 points a game on a measly 12 shot attempts. It was up to Russell Westbrook to get that offensive weapon, the ball. Even a few years ago, when the Thunder lost to the Golden State Warriors, when the Thunder were up 3-1, it's up to Russell Westbrook to close that series. Your team has a 3-1 lead. You got to get that done. As the leader, as the point guard, as the floor general, it is up to you to close that series. But this 10-12 start, I'm not putting that on Russell Westbrook this year. No, not this year. I've seen Russell Westbrook doing all he can to try to help his team win games. I seen him come out with the mindset that, you know what, I'ma just score. Take us to the top that way. That hasn't worked. I've seen him come out with the mindset of, you know what, I'ma be a facilitator. Get Paul George involved. Get Carmelo involved. That hasn't worked. When you have a player as talented as Russell Westbrook trying to figure it out, doing everything that he can in his own power, and still falling short, that's when the organization, the head coach, comes in and is supposed to offer some clarity, give him a vision, help him figure out what he can't see on the court. And I don't think the Oklahoma City Thunder coach has done that. Billy Donovan, where are you? Your team is talented enough. They just don't know how to navigate during a basketball game. And Billy Donovan, if your job is not to help them figure that out, then what else are you collecting a check for? Why else do you have 8 coaches on a bench in the NBA team in suits carrying clipboards if you can't help a talented group as the Thunder figure it out? Now, Russell Westbrook, we agree he is a talented player, right? He just won the MVP last season. His will to win can't be questioned, correct? We see that fight each and every night. Well, that's all a player is responsible for, bringing the skills and bringing the desire to win. It is up to Billy Donovan and the Oklahoma City organization to kind of be that little voice in Westbrook's ear. Hey, this is how you put all of those skills, all of these pieces together. Help him connect those dots. Every great talent needs somebody to help mold them, okay? Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen were in Chicago before Phil Jackson arrived. The championships didn't start until Phil got his hands on Michael Jordan. Until Phil said, hey, Mike, I know you can score 50 points, but maybe let's get it down to 30, a little more facilitating, up the defense. The same in L.A. Shaq and Kobe were in L.A. before Phil showed up. Allen Iverson was a player that they thought were too small. They thought he was selfish. He would never amount to nothing. Larry Brown got to town, start taking shots at him in the media. Next thing you know, Allen Iverson is the league's MVP. And he's snatching game one of the NBA Finals in LA from the mighty Shaq and Kobe. That's what a coach is there for, to help you maximize your talents. There's countless examples throughout sports. Everybody needs it. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. Not just sports, actor. Robert De Niro's a great actor. His best work comes when he's alongside director Martin Scorsese. So trust me, I believe players win games. Trust me, I believe that. But I'm starting to feel sorry for Russell Westbrook. He needs a little help. He needs somebody to challenge him. He's doing his part. Billy Donovan, I can't remember you saying anything of significance over the last few years there. Nothing. Positive, negative, anything. Help those guys. Maybe it is time for Carmelo to go to the bench. Who knows? Do you have the fortitude, the cachet in that locker room to go to Carmelo and have that conversation? I seen Phil Jackson had that conversation with Lamar Odom. In Los Angeles, next thing you know, they win two championships back-to-back. Lamar Odom, sixth man of the year. I seen Steve Kerr had a conversation with Andre Iguodala in Golden State. Next thing you know, he's a finals MVP. Earlier this year, D-Wade said, you know what? I'm going to go to the bench, let J.R. Smith start. Cleveland Cavaliers just won 12 straight. So, Billy Donovan, if you can't get it done with an MVP, Paul George, one of the most versatile players in the league, and Carmelo, an offensive juggernaut, and not to mention Steve Adams. Leadership is about making tough decisions. Do you have that ability to go in there and mix it up with these athletes? I don't know. I've seen the greatest make tough decisions, take shots at this place, do something. I can't remember one thing you've ever said in public. The organization has failed Russell Westbrook in that regard. They haven't given him a leader that's going to help take him to his greatest heights. They're too busy giving him ice cream for breakfast. Hey, word to Oklahoma City Thunder. You guys just locked him up for the next few years. The next coach you get should be somebody who isn't afraid to challenge that man. That's when we're going to see the best version of Russell Westbrook. But this 10-12 start, this slow start, I'm not putting it on the players. No way. Thank you for joining me on my very first podcast. My name is William Holly. Had a lot of fun doing this today. One last thing I wanted to touch on. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I had a front row seat to the Yankee dynasty. Everyone around me was a Yankee fan, Derek Jeter fans. Last year, I had the privilege of working in the Yankees organization. And you could just see the love that Derek Jeter still filled the park, even though he wasn't playing. You know, he is really the crown prince of New York City. But Jeter was never really one of my personal favorites. You know, I kind of related to the guys with a little bit more edge. You know, Daryl Strawberry, Paul O'Neill, taking a bat to water coolers every time he struck out. Or my favorite player, Yankee of all time, CeCe Sabathia. You know, he had the Yankee hat tilted to the side, tattoos and Jordans. You know, that's the type of guy I could relate to. So I never really was on the Jeter train. But I got to defend him today. This year, Derek Jeter put a group together that allowed him to purchase the Miami Marlins. Derek Jeter seems to be the one who will be responsible for day-to-day operations. And he's made some moves down in Miami that the Miami fan base doesn't seem to be happy with. First off, he fired some special assistants. Let me see the name. Tony Perez, Andre Dawson, Jeff Conine, and Jack McKeon. And the fan base seemed to be up in arms with these firings. Listen, when your team hasn't had a winning season in 5 years, nobody's job should be safe. The guys serving the popcorn are lucky if they invited back next season. One of my favorite sayings or definitions is, insanity is trying the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So if I ask the fan base, do you guys want a winning team? I'm sure they would say yes. Yet they want everything to remain the same. These alumni players want Jeff Conine. They called him Mr. Marlin. Nobody knows who this guy is. When they said Derek Jeter fired Mr. Marlin, I thought they got rid of the mascot. When a team is floundering in attendance, viewership, nobody's job should be safe. I find it comical that they're criticizing every move. This is what it takes to make changes, guys. To get you on the winning side. You can't have everything the same and then magically it'll get better. No, somebody has to come in there and clean up. Derek Jeter got rid of the Miami Marlins Fox broadcast team. The fan base was unhappy. You guys are one of the last in league in ratings, television ratings. You weren't listening anyway. So because he came in and opted to go in a different direction, there's a problem? I spoke earlier in the podcast, leadership is about tough decisions. Derek Jeter has been a part of 5 World Series teams. You think he knows what it takes to get it done? And not only is Derek Jeter a 5-time World Series champion, but he's not somebody that was always the most talented. He worked from the bottom. I think he understands what it takes to get an organization back to the top. He wasn't Alex Rodriguez who just walked in the ballpark and was the greatest player. No, he put in the hard work to get there. So to question him at this early stage of his tenure with the Miami Marlins is comical, especially an organization that was last in attendance, one of the lowest in television ratings, and they're $400 million in debt. Why should anybody keep a job if you're $400 million in debt? Jeff Conine, Mr. Marlin, whoever you are, this happened on your watch. Why should you be allowed to stick around? Oh, because he was here with 2 World Series. Hey, this is Major League Baseball, big boy sports. We playing by big boy rules. That's what you did 5 years ago. Okay, they gave you a nice shiny ring to commemorate it. You don't get a lifetime contract. You don't get the rights to be around here forever. D- Derek Jeter is there to do a job, and he's doing it. Let him do it, Miami. And there's another piece of, oh, Derek Jeter hasn't spoken with the Miami Marlins best player, Giancarlo Stanton. Why does he have to? In Major League Baseball, in this world, everywhere, corporate America, there's leadership, there's ownership, and then there's the labor force. Giancarlo Stanton is part of the labor force. Derek Jeter doesn't owe him a conversation. Organizations have a chain of command to benefit everybody, so the subordinates know who they are to report to, who they are to take guidance from, and leadership knows who their direct subordinates are, who they're responsible for. Derek Jeter is part of ownership. Giancarlo Stanton is a player. There's many different rungs in the ladder between those two. There's general managers, presidents, managers. You don't skip rungs, oh, Derek Jeter has to come down to talk to Stanton. Because no. When you skip rungs, that's when your organization is in a chaotic place. Nobody's respecting anybody. Everybody's being undermined. That's what we see with the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones, 1 week he's the coach, 1 week he's the general. You have chaos. And the Dallas Cowboys, one playoff win in 20 years. You saw that in Washington with Robert Griffin III when he was best friends with the owners and his teammates ended up hating him. The coach was undermined and he appeared weak. No, that's chaotic. Derek Jeter is a five-time World Series champion. He told you his boss, George Steinbrenner, didn't consult him on every move. That's not how that goes. Stanton, you want to be in the ownership room? Retire, put all your money together, put together a group to purchase a team, just like Jeter did. But until then, stay in the clubhouse where the players belong. The notion that Derek Jeter owes Giancarlo Stanton something is comical. The best organizations don't operate that way. Now, you might see some of the weaker ones do so. That's not the Patriot way. That's not how Pop and the San Antonio Spurs get down. The front office does what the front office needs to do, and the players do what they need to do. Now, Giancarlo Stanton has a no-trade clause. He has the right to do with that as he please. He doesn't owe Derek Jeter any favors. It's up for Derek Jeter to put the best deal together, and hopefully Stanton accepts it. But neither one of them deserve a cup of coffee or tea. We need to get together. No. The chain of command is to be respected. It helps organizations stay healthy. Both superiors and subordinates know who is who to report to, who they're responsible for. So Miami, a team that has been in chaos for the last couple of years. There's always an issue with your stadium. You're $400 million in debt. The fans are not showing up. The fans are not listening on TV. They're not listening on the radio. For you to question what Derek Jeter is doing at this point, at this early in his tenure, is comical. Please stop. You want change. You wanted to be in a winner's circle. Yet you want everything to remain the same. That's not how that works. Thanks for listening to the first episode of the podcast. I'm your host, William Holly. I had a lot of fun today. Thank you.